going on, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the C-List Villains Podcast, your cultivators of the comic culture. I'm your host tonight, E-Man, along with my best friend, my buddy, my good mate right here, Mr. C-List Villainous Red. What's going on, Red?
You have no power here, fat Gandalf! Ha!
Have no power here. Oh god, dude, those were such good movies, man. I freaking love the Lord of the Rings movies. I love them, I really do.
They are usually on Paramount every weekend, if not Paramount Sci-Fi, and they'll like toggle back and forth between Lord of the Rings, the first trilogy, and then all seven of the Harry Potter movies, or eight, because they broke up that one book by two.
Yeah, they broke up that one book.
And then some of the Fantastic Beasts movies.
You know what though? Like I saw all the Lord of the Rings movies in the movie theater, and I thought they were super fun. Like they, for the time, they look great. But like when I watch them now, I'm like, ooh, that. I don't think they aged well. I don't think that the CGI holds up. Like the storytelling was cool, you know, even though it was like super basic, right? Like the whole the action in it and the fantasy of it all was really cool for the time, but I don't think they hold up. Like, would you go back and like sit through those movies again?
You want to do a full minute by minute review of the Lord of the Rings trilogy?
Oh, no, because I actually have the extended versions, the 4 hour a piece versions of the Lord of the Rings on Blu-ray. So like I can't do that. that's a lot.
All right, I sit through it through commercials and everything, just for to have it on in the background.
Background, yeah.
If it's streaming live or anywhere.
Little ambiance, getting ready for that late night soldier comic talk, huh? Mm-hmm. That's what you love.
Yeah, I'll go through it, and yeah, the CGI is a bit dated. The story itself still kicks ass.
Yeah,
I mean the difference between the little people and the CGI hobbits, you could tell which ones the CGI and which ones are the little people. Gimli, however, still seems legit because they probably got a short Filipino guy to play him while Jonathan Rhys-Davies is doing like the foreground closer shots. And then I think the other one is the bad CGI on Legolas, especially when he's jumping on elephants and doing all those tricks.
Yeah, you're right. In the Return of the King, it does end up being a little bit like that where the CGI gets a little
On a horse, picking up a Gimli or something, and then he moves forward and then backward and then sits down on the horse. It's like, okay, that seems a little sloppy, but
yeah,
for the time it was badass.
At the time, it was cool. It was passable. It was one of those things where like it's okay, right? But then we get like, you know, MCU, we get like these really good CGI movies, and it's like, it completely changed the game, right? It's like we kind of move and evolve past that. Like, it's good for the time, but it doesn't hold up. The storytelling's still badass, like you said, but Lord of the Rings, like the CGI is like, don't watch it for the special effects.
Yeah, it's all about the story, and Jackson does it well with the first trilogy.
What's up? So we're talking a little bit about the Lord of the Rings before we get things started over here, because Red made a little comment before the show, or when the show started. So I'm like, oh, you know what? Since you're on a Lord of the Rings tip right now, we're gonna be talking a little bit about it. What did you think of the Hobbit series? Like, was it necessary?
You know what? I've only watched it once all the way through and never again after that. Yeah. I just wasn't invested in it as it was with the first trilogy.
Yeah, yeah. The CGI in that one got a little weird too. Like there was a couple of movies where he had like the high frame, like high resolution, and it just looked really weird. It just didn't look cool. Like I was like, not for now. I don't think people are ready for something like that.
No.
Like it looked too what you call it? They gave it the soap opera effect where it looked just too real. Yeah, no, I'm good. Hard pass.
If they're looking for story, it again, I wasn't really keen on the first on the prequel books.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that okay. I'll probably sit through it again if I was forced to do it, but otherwise if it's on, then I'll just skip it.
So I want to bring up something, man. I know I talked about it last week, and or I talked about it, yeah, last week after the show, but before the show. Headlines. There was a headline that I know our friend group would probably, like, if you had seen the headline, we probably would have jumped for joy about Costco. Did you hear about this? Costco's bringing back fan favorite was the headline. Like, you Google that right there, and it's like, wait. Immediately, what do you think about? Let me ask you that. When you hear, hey, Costco's bringing back a fan favorite, what do you think they're bringing back?
It's a toss-up between the Polish dog or the provolone, the turkey provolone.
Really? Like the provolone? Like I would have gone to the berry sundae myself.
Berry sundae?
Yeah, the berry sundae or the Polish dog. Look, even Miss So, like the hot dogs. I would think I'm thinking Polish dog.
It's always been a staple. It's just the Polish dog was the one that disappeared. Plus the combination pizza. And then they have stuff like back in, like, they usually like continue like the acai bowls, the chicken Caesar and such. And yeah.
That's right. That chicken Caesar wrap, right?
Yes.
Dude,
yes. Yeah. Hawaii has a boba drink on their Costco.
Well, I mean, Hawaii's different for sure, because in Hawaii you can still get like fresh poke, right? You can get boba, you can get family size things like that in Oahu. That's like a given. Like regionally, I know every Costco's like got that one thing that's different. I know, like in the South, you get like better barbecue than we do here.
It's just like McDonald's. It regionally they're different, but they still have the same staple stuff.
So I was going, so for me, I end up going through, and this is just me, and it's just more like habit really than anything. I usually go through Yahoo for like news, and it's just more articles really, not like for breaking news, but I do go to Costco for, you know, some stuff. And so I saw this on Yahoo, I'm sorry, I go through Yahoo for some of my news. So when I saw this. Are you
still relevant?
Huh?
Yahoo's still relevant?
Like I said, it's not something that I recommend for anyone. It's just something that I do. It's just a habit thing. But I was scrolling through and I saw Yahoo. They had this article. Right? Costco is finally bringing back this fan favorite.
Published on the 3rd. That's on our friend Justin's birthday.
Yeah. This did come out last week. So when I see this, right, look at that. Look, Miss Sully, I had a Yahoo email. Look, everyone had like a Yahoo or AOL email or Netscape.
My Yahoo email and my AOL and my
Hotmail. Hotmail.
Well, Hotmail became MSN mail or something like that.
No. Hotmail and MSN were different because MSN was just a completely different company.
Yeah, but they merged.
Anyway, so I see this, right? And I'm kind of going through it, right? And they're like, oh, yeah, they're bringing back this fan favorite, yada, 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 yada.
They tease you, then get to the end. It's not what you expected.
These motherfuckers are bringing back diced onions. Diced onions. This is what the headline is about. They're bringing back diced onions for the legendary affordable hot dogs. I don't care. I don't.
Well, they've been missing since the pandemic started. So diced onions and relish. Because all they had was ketchup.
Ketchup and mustard. Yeah. But don't say it like this. Don't make the article.
That's not a fan favorite.
It's not a fucking fan favorite. They're bringing back a fan favorite.
It's a
food court item.
It's some sort of C. It's a condiment.
Condiment. Yes, it's a condiment. I wanted to talk to you about it because Costco was our thing, right? That's what we lived off of in college. Yeah,
we had a wedding reception in Costco.
Yes, we had a friend who did a legitimate photo shoot in Costco because that was such a big thing. Look at Miss O. Oh, that's right. You mentioned it on your Soul Tree show the other night. I actually listened to that twice. It was very relaxing to listen to. My goodness. Thank you so much, Miss O.
Bring back, Miss O, because this is going to get disgusting.
That show, that show is gonna be just off the wall. I don't know that Raymundo Saratoga guy, he's kind of off the wall. I don't know about him, you know. But yeah, man, like that's one thing I hated about looking at those articles last week is bringing back a fan favorite. Like, man,
dog tease,
huh?
I thought we were bringing back Polish dogs.
Like, Polish dogs, yes.
Condiment that goes on the hot dogs, like
exactly.
That's a staple already on those condiments. Like,
it really annoyed me. I was hurt. I was so hurt by that. I was like, how dare you? Like, why? You suck so hard, Costco. Yeah,
the deli at the Costco nearby had closed down for 6 months, thinking that they were totally closing all delis and all Costcos for me. But instead, they were just changing out the floors. But then I get to thinking, like, what if they're bringing everything back? Is that why they're getting the kitchen ready to bring back all this good stuff?
And I get that. For sure, I get that, you know. But, yeah, don't tease me. Don't tease me, Costco. Don't tell me things like that.
How dare you?
Well, you know what though? I don't think we should blame Costco for it though, right? It's not Costco's fault that we interpreted it like that. It's the people who write the articles. They're like, hey, right, you
they're,
guys,
they're doing it for clicks.
They're doing it for clicks, and that was such a disappointment. Such a disappointment. I miss the hot dogs I used to be able to get. At the little Walmart cafe that used to exist, they were so good. See, we have Sam's Club, and I know Sam's Club have comparable hot dogs.
IKEA hot dogs are pretty good too.
Oh, that's right. Then yeah, there's some Walmarts that have Subways in it. Yes, yes, I know what you're talking about. Some Walmarts over here actually have McDonald's too. So like, it's kind of hit or miss. My son, actually, at where Red is, the Walmart over there. Red, you guys have a Domino's pizza in yours. The one that you got kicked out of. The one that you're not allowed to go to anymore.
Sure, I haven't been there in years. I don't know what's in there now, right now.
Have you tried going back?
I have. But it's been a long time. And all I remember is going through it, and then left side would be the optometry. So if there's a Domino's in there, I wouldn't know where they put it.
Yeah, well, it's literally like as soon as you walk in, it's to the left. Like immediately, it's to the left.
So they got rid of the optometry and then...
I want to say yes, but I can't verify that.
Okay, I'll check when I get there this weekend. Pretty sure the statute of limitations is gone.
I'm pretty sure you're okay to go back into that Walmart. Look at that. Yeah. Miss O is talking about how she's got a Sam's Club, but she never goes. The bulk stores like Sam's Club and Costco can actually be kind of expensive. Now, yes, for one or two people who live in the household, but if you're the kind of person that stocks up on like a month's worth of like, you know, stewed tomatoes and soy sauce, it's like that's the thing to do right there.
Well, for me, it's toilet paper, so I need to buy the economy size toilet paper. Yeah. And not the soft Charmin. I want the sturdy
double, the double,
because yeah, I don't want it to rip mid-wipe and I get a prize. And then, you know,
it is a prize though. See, it's a fantastic surprise. So don't mind the background.
What was it on Raw Rats?
Oh, shit. What was it? Not the double dutcher. No.
No. When you try to give the cop or the owner of the mall
the chocolate covered pretzels. Would you like chocolate covered pretzels? I hear they're exquisite, dude. That's Yondu. That is Yondu right there, who played that role right there. That was, dude. I'm so happy. Like we get to see him in so many pop culture things.
Oh yeah, it's beautiful. I love it. Spoiler alert, he makes a little cameo.
We'll talk about that later. Well, on. We'll get into it. Maybe I should go again. Haven't been there in quite a while. You know what, Miss? So if you're shopping, like I said, if you're shopping for like a whole month's worth of stuff, you know, you need things in bulk, yeah, do it. Go for it.
Go on a Saturday afternoon, just try all the samples.
Or yeah, exactly. Or just go back into Costco and just get yourself your $1.50 hot dog, because that hasn't changed prices, you know.
Yeah, just make sure your membership's up to date.
Yeah. Yeah. So look at this. Look at this. Look. You see this right here?
Oh yeah, that's pretty.
That's John Jang. That's actually his print. That's the Optimus Prime primp to go with the Optimus Prime.
You got a friend already.
Yeah, yeah. So Eris and I went to Shortbox Live this weekend. And it sucks, man. We missed you. You know, we're really looking forward to seeing you.
Yeah, tell me what happened.
So Shortbox Live. Here, you know what? Let me go ahead and create a banner specifically for them. Shortbox.
Because you know
live.
I didn't go because my dogs decided to fight with the other dogs because they decided to break my fence, and then they all started to play with each other. So which is all good and great, but then now I have four more other dogs taking a dookie on my yard.
That's why you had to stay at home. You couldn't do it, huh? You couldn't come by and make it. That's
by the time you get all the materials and start getting ready to cut and rebuild the thing, it's like already like I'll be done by 3 o'clock, and like what's the point of me going out to the bay?
Yeah, because it ended like at 5, and on top of that, so here, let me get into it. So Shortbox Live, it was literally a comic con. It was almost all comic book dealers. There were some artists there. John Jang was there. Tom Weiss.
Tom Watts of Ninja Turtle fame. Mark Bode, yeah. Whom we met at Fan Expo Frisco. And a couple others from the
Something Kelly. Like, he was a huge hit. What was his name? Let me look it up real fast.
Yeah, a bunch of guys from the Turtles books, at least the Turtle royalty.
Yeah.
I was looking up books to get signed.
Yeah. Let me see if I can bring up the detail. Oh, here we go. Yeah, there was a lot of dealers. It was like a medium size. I probably say like a small size convention hall. You know, at a convention center rather than just like at a hotel. It was like at a convention center, and it was medium-ish sized. And there was probably about 15-20 dealers.
Yeah,
So it felt good knowing that it was just a comic con, like, right? And people are going in there, and it's a fucking Silicon Valley, dude. So everyone was going in buying. Like big bucks, dude. There was people buying like Daredevil number ones and GSXs, and someone walked out with like an AF-15, like 0.5 grade. Freaking Rob from Fat Stacks ended up picking up a huge, huge book. Like, it was, no one watches the show anyway. He ended up picking up like a Spider-Man number one. It was like a super low grade, like 1.5.
Yeah.
So he added that to this collection. So like, it's the Silicon Valley. People are going to be able to throw down money on something like this.
Of course, so like, haggle. It's not San Diego Comic Con where everything is up to a premium price plus 10%. It's actual just how Comic Con should be, where people are just moving books and still getting a profit.
Exactly. There was a guy there that had a. I want to say, what was it, the. Which one is the first Galactus, the Fantastic Four number or something?
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
But he had a 9.8 in that. He was selling it for 180 grand. Oh, so shit. It was super, super dope to be able to walk around and see comics like that. I was talking to Eris about it. I was trying to teach her, like, this is why people do this. You know, people try to buy this and add it to their collection. You know, this is what grading is. This is what this is. Walked around, we found a couple of Stan Lee signatures to show her, like, look, this is actually signed by Stan Lee. She's like, oh my god, is that really? And like, you know, showing her the yellow label. And it was cool being able to teach Eris a little bit about the community and collecting, and she was actually like pretty receptive to it, which felt really good. But this kind of a con, like shout out to Gene from Shortbox for doing this, and I thought he did a fantastic job, but I think there should have been a little bit more entertainment in between, because there was some panels like held every like half an hour, hour, and it was right in the middle of the showroom,
right,
but it didn't feel like it gained a lot of traction either. Like, there was I'm gonna be honest and say it felt a little empty. Okay. But it was cool because you got to hang out and talk to some of the artists, you know, or some of the people that you see on YouTube. And I was able to run into some people that in the community who've come from other states, like talking to Bird City Comics and talking to Laura over there. She was super dope. Talking to like Haley, Shy Comic Girl, and her comic bestie, Candace. Like, it was really cool seeing other content creators there. Nice. So I was thinking, like, man, maybe like the next Shortbox should be like content creator too, like bring in the content creators, because there were like Reggie was there. Reggie Collects was there and he had a panel. His panel was super interesting. Swaggle House is another guy in the community. He's pretty big. He was there. It was cool because he was like walking around like with us peons. And I was like, dude, I know you. I was like, I know you. You're on YouTube. Like, what's your name? And he goes, oh, yeah, it's Swaggle House. Hold on real fast.
Are you getting the call from the
from the delivery.
So he's expecting a microphone from Amazon, and I guess he wanted to play with it and test it out during the show. Yeah, he has it off. He said he's gonna go get it, but I guess he's really excited for his new show or his new microphone. But definitely, I missed out on a good, decent convention with all those guys, I think E-Man met up with our boy Lawrence Lee. He was the big winner for the John Jang commission cover we did for a raffle we did a couple of years ago. And there's some pictures up on E-Man's IG that you should check it out. And I have a little bit of FOMO, but it's all good. I got to see Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 twice this weekend, so yeah, at least I got to spend my money there than having to spend it on more books, because I have all this right here. So I'm just rambling on, waiting for that other guy to show up. What other conventions are coming up for me? Let's see, we have San Diego in July. There's one this weekend in the East Bay. Yeah. I'll try to get E-Man to go to that as well, but looks like he doesn't want to. But it does. I think the guest for that one is David Faustino of Married with Children. He plays Bud Bundy, and Tracy Gold from what's that one show with Alan Thicke and that douchebag Kirk Cameron, Growing Pains. Yeah, so they're. That's the show for next week. There's another one north of me in July. Stockton Con. I don't see the guest list for that one yet. And right now, one of the canceled shows we were expecting this October was Silicon Valley Comic Con. Now, not quite sure why they had canceled it, but it just seems like I think they lost the venue. Something was double booked, but that's what I'm guessing. But I also see some other notable conventions like Fan Expo cancel shows in, I think it was St. Louis, and it's permanently canceled. So I figured that they weren't getting any of the, I guess, traffic there. And so we might be seeing that for San Francisco as well this November if it doesn't hit it off. And so there will be one less convention here. Again, it's all about the people they're booking and how much they're spending on those people, and then how much they're expecting as far as profit out of that whole weekend. So if they don't meet that profit, then what's the point of holding another convention there next year? Like, even though they're locked in for that venue for the same date for like 5 years, they could just break off that contract saying that, well, we couldn't make any money there, which is sad. I mean, people miss out on a yearly convention, which probably was like WizardCon before Fan Expo had bought them out. But you know, it's the nature of the business there where you don't get that traffic. You don't get those sales, especially from vendors and such. And especially when you're booking big ass stars. Just like what happened in San Francisco, where we had the cast of Smallville and Jay and Silent Bob, their lines were not busy at all. They were not inundated with fans. It's their fault for booking that convention the weekend of Thanksgiving. No, your mic is not on. You can hear me, but yeah, yes, yeah. I see that sign language. Yeah. Fictional characters. Fictional characters. That's true. Just a shame for folks who may not have any other conventions in the area. That is true. That is true. And how much has COVID affected the... Well, I think COVID affected a lot, but definitely it killed the steam for San Diego. But people are still not... are still going to go to San Diego. But when it comes down to the smaller conventions, yeah, I mean, Fan Expo is not a small convention. They're all over the place. But those little, regional ones, the promoters get all the money for that. So you figure if they're smart with it, then yeah, they're able to throw it on there again. But if they weren't, and yeah, then someone else has to fork out the down payment on the venue, and that's what really is the big cost for guys throwing conventions is the venue, because they could have a concert booked for that weekend or wrestling. Shoot, you have another convention like a gun convention or whatever, but definitely if you want it on a certain date, that you got to fork out the money for it. How do you like? Yeah, how do I like San Diego Comic Con? It's for your first time. It's definitely fun, where you get to explore everything and everything on the floor, get to meet all these people and see all the panels, and definitely costs a lot of money to go. But that very first time, once you pop your cherry, and the second time after that, and then the experience itself starts to really get the starts to be great, because then it just becomes work, where now you become this donkey where you have to pack up all your stuff and give it so many excuses for your friends and people that you want to hook up with, hook it up for it, but then you don't really set time for yourself to go enjoy the sights and sounds of a Comic-Con. But for your first and second time, it's definitely like the place to go, and you'll have plenty of fun. You'll meet plenty of great people. I met Joe Gatto from Impractical Jokers, like just walking the floor. I met the guy from Clerks. I forgot his name. Yeah, I think his name's like Dante, or the other guy that says, "I'm not supposed to be here." That guy. I met him on the bus on the way to the convention floor, and so I like he knew I might say that line on the bus, but it seems like he was already tired of it. So I just asked for a photo with him, and he was pretty cool about it. But definitely, it's a good time to really just meet stars. So I think at one point we saw Jim Lee just walking down from a restaurant, and then he had his bodyguards surrounding him, so no one could get an autograph. But it's a place to be. Plus, if you want to know, I guess, the salacious news on TV shows and movies. No, you're still not on. Mike's still not on. Yeah, if you want to know the new stuff and who gets casted for, let's say, Fantastic Four, yeah, that's when you find out at a San Diego Comic-Con. Let's see. I wish I made it up with Chicago Wizard World that hosted the entire main cast of Bateman Batman series years ago. Oh, Bale. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I heard that was huge. I definitely... Well, was it Batman Begins? No, no sound yet. Dude, their setup hasn't changed since you left the seat. This guy. Yeah, I mean, shoot. Like when you get like full cast at a convention, that's like the time to go. I mean like the I think the second Silicon Valley Comic Con had the cast of Back to the Future, along from Biff, Marty McFly, Doc Brown, Jennifer, not Jennifer, what's Leah Thompson's character with the mom? Yeah. Yeah, they were there. Oh, plus the mayor, that black dude. But he was like, you know, he wasn't in the panel. He had his own booth. And so that was, dude, you're still not on.
Check, 1-2.
There it goes.
Oh my God, dude. Like this, I think I fried my, my audio interface because now it's not picking up anything. That sucks, dude. I'm like, I got a new toy. Let me play with it. No. The podcast gods are like, nope, not today. Not today, Satan. That sucks so bad.
Sucks to be you.
Yeah. You know what? I'll think around with it later. I'm like, I'm all happy. I'm like, I got a cloud lifter. And it's like, it's not working.
You should be the camera too.
I'm so sad right now. So anyway, yeah, dude, like I'm with you on that. Like if these cons aren't making money, it's like, why even do it? And it's, you know, and it's like they're trying their best to figure out what the fans want. Like Fanimate, right? Fanimate's got his they got their convention already, and they know what people want.
Yeah, they're a niche,
yeah,
convention. But when you come down to Fan Expo, which covers all genres, and you figure that everybody's gonna go. But when you pick Thanksgiving weekend for the event, you know, everybody's that 60% of the people that do go to those conventions are gonna be out of town.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. It's just a trip because the San Francisco one is, like you said, it's during whatchamacallit,
Thanksgiving,
you know, and people are in town or out of town for that event specifically, or even like on that Sunday, there people are traveling out, people are leaving. You know, people are leaving to go to going home or something like that. So
on Black Friday, what's people doing? Shopping.
Yeah.
All weekend we're shopping.
And do you
Okay, now I lost you again. Lost your audio. Audio's gone. Nope. You fried it. There it is. Oh, that's gone again. Oh, I hear breathing.
And then, like, I lost you. Like, I can't hear you for nothing.
There. I hear you.
See, this is what I get for messing around with stuff like live on the radio or live on.
You'll be unplugging things. Blink twice if you're in danger.
I don't know.
Blink twice if you're in danger. You got took yourself off. Can you hear me now?
I don't know. I can't hear you now. Like, I can't. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Can you hear me? No. Okay. Yeah, you can hear me?
See.
But I can't hear you.
Because you're a dummy. We had such technical difficulties since, I guess, the beginning of 2021. When we had John Jang and Aaron Bartling on, and we were supposed to do this huge broadcast and then having to do the raffle for their books. What do you call it? E-man's server or his bandwidth couldn't take it just because someone else next door was bleeding off that bandwidth playing his PlayStation and go anywhere with it. And then I think we restarted the show twice and still it was choppy all the way around. So we just decided to cancel the raffle with John Jang and Aaron Bartling. But we do have proof of it. It's on video somewhere on our channel.
I have like a giveaway. Where is it? I have a giveaway around here too for that raffle. Are you talking about like the charity event that we were trying to do?
Well, before that one, the one that were before we moved on to StreamYard, where we had this big group session with John Jenkins and Aaron Bartling.
Oh God, that was like the worst. I hated that. Tonight I don't know what's up. My audio interface is acting a fool. Look at Miss So, LOL, best show ever.
Right, gosh, she's the best audience member we have.
I love it because Miss So has always showed us some love. I love it. Miss So, we love you so much, man. Watch, when we make it out to Chicago for C2E2, man, I definitely want to meet up with Miss So. And
go there and just get some pizza. C2E2.
Yeah, I was talking to a shy comic girl and her friend Candace, and I was talking to Maria Wolf. She's an artist. She's a cover artist, and she was I got her on video too. I was like, so if I ever go to Chicago, what do you eat? She's like, dude, just eat, just get everything. She's like, you need to have a Chicago style hot dog, get some pizzas, but you just eat. Just you need to come out and just eat. I was like, I like this.
Avoid East Chicago where everybody's getting shot. Just stay in the city.
Yeah, like when you come out to the Bay, avoid East Oakland, avoid East Palo Alto, avoid East San Jose, avoid East anything.
Well, you're more likely to get robbed and shot.
Yeah. That I don't know what you're trying to do with that. I don't know if you're trying to downplay something, but yeah.
What's getting worse? Getting shot and killed? Or is it getting robbed?
Oh, God. Okay, so we have a show to do, and my technical difficulties I've kind of messed with the flow tonight, so let's get into it. Let me back up a little bit. So Shortbox Live, I was trying to say, it's one of those things where it would have been nice to see a little more entertainment for me, but it was also nice because it was very comic book centric. Probably having some more content creators out there would be nice. Like I said, Swallow House was out there, Reggie was out there, Reggie Collects was out there, and to see more, you know, content creators like that, it would be pretty cool. So hopefully, like, we'll be able to get more of that right there.
Is he going to plan on doing it twice a year or once? Because then this is a learning curve that he has to go through.
Yeah. So I was trying to talk to Gina. He saw me. He's like, hey. I was like, what's going on, man? I was like, hey, Gina, can I get you on camera just to talk about Shortbox? He's like, yeah, but. Like, he was all over the place. Like, I didn't want to bother him. As much as I wanted to get him on camera to talk about it, because Gene's really cool, it was just not his thing. It was, like, not, honestly, I got the vibe of not today. It's super busy. And I totally understand. I'm not going to fault him for, like.
He has to make sure it's smoothie.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, I didn't want to bother him, like, you know, because he was just everywhere, man. Let's see. Hold on. Guardians of the Galaxy. I've heard that this Guardians is quite the tearjerker. I haven't seen it yet. Okay. So yes, we are going to spoil everything about this movie, Miss So, you know, because that's what we do here tonight. So Red, Guardians of the Galaxy 3, you saw it, right?
Twice.
Already? You saw it twice?
Oh, one for my entertainment and then the second time for homework.
Look at you. Okay, man. So Red is the leading expert on tonight's topic for sure.
Well, as far as Miss So watching it, if she's not into animal torture or experiments, PETA has approved this movie to go.
It's PETA. Yeah.
Yeah, PETA's the main the main
backer?
Driver.
Yeah. The main driver. Backer of this one. So, Guardians of the Galaxy 3, this is James Gunn's swan song, right? And it's one of those things where is it going to hit? Is he going to stick the landing? You know, is James Gunn going over to DC and ending his tenure at Marvel with a bang? And it seems like the general consensus is yes. Do you agree?
Agree.
You agree?
I agree emphatically, yes.
And see...
Let's answer her question first. Would you guys ever want to do a live watch on Discord or something with each other for a movie?
That would be super fun to do, like a watch party. I would love to do that. Only thing is, I know with Miss So, we won't be able to record it. You know, Miss So is very secretive. She's like our Janet Bond, right? She doesn't want to be seen. She doesn't want no one to see who she is. But I would love to do a watch party with her.
I'll do the bottomless.
Ooh, tell me more.
I on the side, I made a bet with one of our comic book friends about the Lakers and Warriors series. And so if the Lakers win, then I have to do one live show bottomless.
Don't look, let's not talk about that right now. We're talking about Cardinals and the Cavs. Right? We're not talking sports ball right now, because that one hurts at the moment. So general consensus is James Gunn stuck the landing. Red agrees with this. Red, let's do this. What's the movie about? What's this particular movie about?
This movie really concentrates on Rocket Raccoon's origins.
Yeah.
And how he came to be and why he himself refers to himself not being a raccoon. Yeah, so we get a lot of the backstory and flashbacks, while in the foreground where the main story is, where Rocket right now is currently injured and on his deathbed, the whole gang is out there trying to save him, getting the information they need to save Rocket. And we'll get into the details. Mm-hmm.
And it was cool, because then at the very beginning, it was just like all hands on deck. We have to save Rocket. Rocket's life is in danger. And you kind of get the idea that someone's going to die. It feels very much that it's in the air. It's looming. It's a cloud that looms over this movie. We're going to lose somebody. Right. And so that's what
that the stars themselves said, that this is their last Guardians. So you figure how else would they stop doing the Guardians when you can just kill off their character?
Mm-hmm.
So I was figuring at least 60% of the group would have been dead by the end of the movie.
Wow, that's a high number. I was thinking. Oh no, I was thinking 20% of the group. No. I was thinking 40% of the group was gonna die. But we'll get into that. Right? It was a good ride. It was a very good ride. Right now, when I say that, I'm talking about the whole adventure, the whole journey from the beginning of this movie to the end. It was a very good ride. Ups and downs. It was emotional. How did you take in all of the emotional parts? Like, because that was a big thing and I'm going to be talking based off of what we've heard in the community, right? In what people are saying, what the fans are saying.
Oh yeah. Well, what I did show you that conversation between Big Mike and myself about that part where Lila, the otter, which is Rocket's, I guess, love.
I wouldn't call her his love interest. I would really say like probably his best friend at the time.
Right. But she ends up getting murdered while they were trying to make their escape. And
I like how Red, there's just no buildup. It's all right, there's this character and she dies.
There's no other way of building it up. She dies. I mean, they because the flashbacks you have to watch and they'll go through this whole progression of you know, how they grew up in that cage and you know, became friends and only to find out that the high evolutionary, some douchebag that wanted to experiment on them in order to make this utopian society with these experiments. And so, yeah, with Lila being shot by the high evolutionary, that breaks Rocket.
Mm-hmm.
And then definitely that was like the saddest part of the movie before seeing all the other animals getting experimented on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And there's a few more other animals that were, you could say, incinerated because they were mistakes. And so with PETA's giving us the go-ahead to go watch it, it's not, even though it shows animal torture, that it actually promotes that, you know, the whole opposite of, you know, this shouldn't happen. You guys should help out animals from here on out.
Save all the animals, release them, let them go. So to touch upon what Red is saying there, so the story is Rocket's backstory. We get a lot of Rocket backstory, where he came from. And of course, like, one of the things that you would think is that Rocket's going to be the one who's going to die, because in a previous movie, he even says, you know what, I'm not even supposed to be alive, or I'm not even supposed to be alive that much longer anyway, right?
And you would think it's because he's a little raccoon. Their lifespan isn't that long. I was thinking that same thing. I was thinking about what he said. I think it was in Guardians of the Galaxy 1 when he brings that up, like, I'm going to die anyway. So, of course, it's going to be that emotional aspect of it. And I think that's where James Gunn did a fantastic job in writing, is that he was able to bring back tidbits from previous movies to let us know, let us in, like, hey, keep an eye out because this is going to happen. What I loved about this movie was that it wasn't Peter Quill-centric. He wasn't the focus. In fact, he was the most broken character of them. And I liked that. I liked how in Guardians of the Galaxy 3, each one of the characters carried an essential part of the whole overarching story to make this a movie that works well. I loved that about
everybody this got movie. Their chance to shine.
Yes. However, what I did not like is you're one of them. Is all the fans are, oh, it's a tearjerker. Oh, you're going to cry. Oh, it's emotional. And what sucked was that during those emotional parts, I kept thinking, oh, man, this is a sad part, but I know there's more coming. Oh, this is a sad part, but I know there's more coming. And I feel like that was robbed from me because everyone kept saying, bring a tissue. So now I'm like, oh, I'm expecting to just be sad. But then I'm like, oh, no, but there's more. Oh, no, they can't do this because it's going to be. So I felt like that was taken from me.
Well, but you don't listen to anybody's opinions and just go in there blind.
Yes. Yes. And that's what I've been trying to tell people myself who haven't seen it. I'm like, what have you heard? And they go, oh, it's emotional. I'm like, don't listen to anyone. You form your own opinion. Go in on your own. It's a good movie. It's fun. But we'll leave it at that, and I want you to form your own opinion. Because I saw Mimi crying because there was some emotional parts. I was sad in some of the parts. You know, I could hear some people in the movie, like, but I was like, oh, but wait, there's more. No, but wait, there's more. And
well, you felt Rocket's pain when Lila died.
Yes.
You felt Peter's pain when he was losing Rocket on the bed.
Yes.
Yeah, when he went flatline.
Here's the thing. Like, I'm gonna talk on moments of the movie where I felt like hit or miss. When Drax got shot in the back, yeah. I felt like we were gonna lose him. Like, fuck, we're gonna lose. This is how we lose Drax. Or, you know, Peter at that moment. This is what I didn't like. We're about to lose Drax. It looks like he's dying. He got shot twice by this powerful weapon thanks to Nathan Fillion's character.
There's a plasma burn.
Yeah. Right there, Quill, all he was thinking was, I need to get the information to save Rocket. Fuck Drax. And I was like, I don't like that. Like, I know we're trying to save Rocket here, but this is a whole team that needs to be in on this.
Fuck Drax, because they had to split up in order for them to, because they lost their spaceships.
Yeah.
So they found a way out. they split off, so Mantis and Drax went to go find a ride.
Yeah,
get them out the I guess the facility.
Yeah,
and Gamora knew where the database is, and so then you had a Nebula go along for as an extra gun. And
she was like the tech person. She was the one who hacked the mainframe to gather information. Yeah.
She's their Iron Man.
Yeah. That whole scene, like, I thought that was great, except for that part where it's like, oh shit, it looks like we're gonna lose Drax, and Peter looked like he didn't care, and I didn't like that because there was already so much emotion going into losing one friend. Like, oh, fuck, I can't lose another one.
And he was trying to state his case to their hostage in order for him to gain access to the computer, and then again it comes full circle where they did in the first movie, where in the jail, that he deactivated the anti-gravity.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
No. Rocket deactivated the anti-gravity in the first movie.
He did, but since Rocket's on his deathbed,
it was him doing it this time.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all right.
Full circle.
So to me, that was a missed opportunity to build upon more emotion. Another thing is when Aisha died. Right when Aisha died on the other Earth, I forgot what he called the other Earth.
Counter Earth.
Right, there you go, Counter Earth. When Aisha died, two things. One, I felt like, no, the Sovereign, they're pretty powerful. I think she would have lived through that. and she didn't. So we lost Aisha. Okay, fuck it. But I don't think Adam Warlock's emotional response to that was powerful enough. Adam Warlock, we already know he's an extremely powerful being, but we also know that he was literally just born yesterday, right? Right. So he's super naive, and I understood that part. I understood that they needed to do that to Adam Warlock, but he was so underutilized, misused. There was such a big buildup with Adam Warlock after the end of Guardians of the Galaxy 2 when we saw the sarcophagus where Aisha was pretty much creating him. And he comes into this, and it's like he was just like another backup character.
Yeah, well, it's the last movie for Guardians with that group. So if you wrote it for Adam Warlock, then it would have totally overshadowed the swan song he's trying to give everybody else.
Like, yeah.
The character, like, be shined on.
If that was the case, let the next director handle Adam Warlock.
Yeah.
Because
but they needed someone to at least push a narrative where Rocket's in more danger than they thought. Not just having the high evolutionaries henchmen go after him. But, you know,
well, that's
Adam Warlock going after Rocket, they couldn't have anybody else in the whatever their group is,
the Sovereign.
Sovereign,
you could have it. But see, that's the thing. The Sovereign were the High Evolutionary's henchmen. He created the Sovereign, and Aisha created Adam Warlock. Hence, Adam Warlock needed to work for the High Evolutionary to go get Rocket. So yeah, we already have the danger, and we need to collect Rocket. We need Rocket, you know.
If you're saying that if he was underutilized, they didn't have to use him in that story and just stuck with the...
Just the Sovereign, yeah. The Sovereign,
yeah.
They should have just stuck with that, like how Aisha and the Sovereign in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, you know, they could have been used more, and Adam Warlock should have been used a whole lot less if that's the direction that they were going to go in.
Which they did. He had his moments where he had to push the story along. It still stuck his ugly head in situations where they were trying to get out of a danger and put themselves in more danger with Adam Warlock. But he came through at the end, you know, so he can get this redeeming act, and then which places him in the team at the end of the movie.
See, and that's the thing. I don't think he pushed any narrative forward. He was honestly, you know what he was? He was almost like a replacement for Drax's stupidity. It felt like that in some part.
Well, Drax was transitioning out of the stupidity part and becoming the character that he is.
There was no need for a replacement. You know, that's the issue I have with Adam Warlock.
But Will Power did a great job as Adam Warlock.
I agree. And I think the acting in this movie was fantastic, especially the High Evolutionary. That actor, I'm going to say this. The way he portrayed the High Evolutionary, in my opinion, has to put him at either number one or number two, the best villains in the MCU. You know, and I honestly would even say that he's better than Thanos because he was a true bad guy. At least Thanos was doing it for the greater good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, Baron Zemo had pure rage and pure revenge on his mind. So, like, to me, Baron Zemo is like top three villain. I'd have to say that High Evolutionary is number one because he was truly a bad guy. He was truly, it's all about me. It's not about me. Fuck you and fuck your planet. I'm blowing it up. You know what? I'm creating creatures. Oh, you know what? I don't really need you because I need you for this. You know what? I don't care about you. Oh, you know what? I'm going to kill this animal right here. He was a true to heart villain. And honestly, I don't think we've had a really true to heart villain in the MCU in a while.
True.
Kang has aspirations to make things better. Thanos had aspirations to make things better. You know, prior to that, you know, all the other ones were almost like henchmen compared to some of the higher beings. And here's the thing. I hope that he's not dead. I really do. Rocket didn't kill him, and we didn't see him die on screen. That leaves it open for him to come back. And if he comes back, I think he's a bigger threat. No, I shouldn't say he's a bigger threat than Kang, but he's going to be definitely a bigger headache to any team that goes up against him in the future.
Yeah. I mean, the actor himself was having interpretations about it because he had such a flat performance on Peacemaker. But
yeah.
But on this one, he definitely shined as the main antagonist.
Yes.
And I'll be okay with him replacing Jonathan Majors as Kang if the whole thing with Jonathan Majors falls through. So, you know, another variant of Kang through that guy. Hey, I'm okay with it.
I don't know. I don't think a high evolutionary version of Kang is something I'd want to see. Good question. Where's Ashton been? Have you talked to Ashton lately? I know we haven't done like consistent shows in a very long time. That's why. And Ashton probably doesn't know.
No, Ashton's been busy. He's been still collecting, and we talk every now and then. But his undisputed nerd right now is on hiatus. I guess he's making plans for something else, but he's still trying to find his niche.
Yeah.
I guess his spot in the whole streaming verse.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but you know, definitely we have plans to bring him back. It's just being him like way East Coast, Southeast Coast in the Bahamas versus us here in the West Coast. There's a
Caribbean
difference.
He's in the Caribbean.
Yeah, Trinidad and Tobago. But yeah, definitely we love Ashton. Caribbean.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No worries, Miss. So that's a very valid question, and I actually love that you asked. No need to apologize.
Yeah, dude, I was thinking like bringing on Lawrence as you saw him Sunday too.
Yeah, I did. And he's got himself a cool little idea too. So, but we'll talk about that a different time. So like the characters were good. Like I don't think there was anything wrong with the characters except for Adam Warlock and how he was used. I didn't like the emotional aspect of the movie because of how everyone pushed it. And there was another thing I did not like about the movie. But there was a few things about the movie where I felt like it was miss. But like what's cool about this movie too is that it didn't need to be a part of the MCU. It didn't feel like it needed to be a part of the main MCU story, right? No, like there was no reason to collect.
They're just closing out the chapter on this set.
Yeah. And that's I like that.
Yeah.
So I liked how every
first before an MCU movie.
I liked how every character story finished with a nice little, you know, bow tie at the end, you know, a little bow on top. However, I felt like someone should have died. I felt like I didn't like how, oh, Drax got shot in the back, he's gonna die. Oh no, he lived. Okay, cool. Oh man, we're about to lose Rocket. I don't know if they're gonna make it. Oh, he lives. Oh, Peter's out in space, he's about to die. Oh no, we're gonna lose. Oh, he lives. Oh, this is how we're gonna lose Nebula. She's controlling the ship and it's probably gonna crash into. Oh no, she lives. You know, it's like they all had that. Almost all of them had that.
Pull out the heartstrings for you in order for you to feel this
apprehension
of like, oh shit, this person might be now.
And that's what I didn't like. I did not like that at all because they kept pulling at those hearts. Like if you told me, if you did that twice and then on the third time, like it was like really good save the world moment. Okay, I get it. But there was just five people almost dying.
I lost you. No sound. Yep. You pulled the cord out again. Maybe there's a loose wire.
One, two. Check. There it is. Yeah, I'm using like the work computer. That's why I'm not using my regular like rig. So I don't know. Maybe it's just faulty cabling between.
My son works. What is this? McDowell's.
It's a place on 85th. I think he works there. My son works. So let's go ahead and give it that comic book grade that we always do.
Hold on. I got a theory working here. Okay.
You have a theory?
Yeah, I have a theory working here. It's I call it why is Gamora?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, you did notice that Gamora came back and she did not have memories of anybody prior to Guardians of the Galaxy 1.
Yeah.
Correct? Okay. Right. So now we make this assumption where Captain America went back and returned the Soul Stone. So we can assume that everybody that was sacrificed for the Soul Stone comes back. Okay? Mm-hmm. Right. Now, the reason why Gamora is the way she is in the movie, you got to remember that 2014 Gamora also died on that dimension, on that timeline, that on Earth 616 during the last battle on Endgame. Right?
So, by the way, so in the MCU, Earth is actually Earth 19999. It's not 616. 616 is comic book only.
You know, the iteration of what the characters we're seeing right now.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So there's two Gamoras in the current, I guess, dimension. So when the Soul Stone was returned, the Soul Keeper probably released both souls, because one died on a snap and the other was sacrificed. And you bring him back, Gamora as a whole had to bring the two together. That's why she was not able to remember the relationship with Peter yet, but at the end she remembered how to understand Groot. So it's her, I guess her being is starting to meld together and get familiar with the old things that she experienced.
No.
Yeah.
No, I think you're thinking too hard about it. She was brought, she time jumped with Thanos.
She did, but she also got snapped away because Tony said, or was it Tony? Yeah, it was Tony that snapped everybody away from that timeline, away from theirs. Whoever came with Thanos was gone.
Oh, except for Gamora.
No, Gamora was not excluded out. She disappeared from everybody else.
No, she didn't.
Yes, she did.
Gamora didn't snap.
Yes, she did. You didn't see her at the end of the movie, right?
We're going to have to talk about this.
Yeah.
We're going to have to talk about this. I don't think she snapped. I think she just, I think she walked away from everyone like, what's going on? No, this isn't me. Away.
She got snapped. No. Unless there's a
third Gamora?
Another movie that'll prove my theory here. But yeah, but then, okay, with that in mind, if everybody who gets sacrificed for a Soul Stone comes back, that means Black Widow came back, but she's right now stuck on that planet in 2014. And Steve Rogers left her there.
I think you're wrong, but I mean, that's very good. Yeah, that's a very good way of thinking about things.
Also, the guy who's keeping the Soul Stone can only bring back the person, you know, at that current time.
Says who?
He can't assume like which timeline or dimension where she came from. He's only bringing her back to the place where she died.
Says who? Who says that he brings people back? Yes, he.
That assumption.
It's assuming. That's a hard assumption. That's a hard. Like you said, it's a theory.
Gamora died during the snap, and then an original Gamora died pre-snap, but she was the sacrifice to the Soul Stone. That's why bringing the two Gamoras together, what happened for this movie.
Okay, well, that's like you said, it's a theory. I hear you. I can't jump on that one right there. But hey, like everyone's entitled to their theories, and I get you.
There's no other explanation why that Disco Mark could not remember the relationship between her and Peter.
She came back from a time before she met Peter.
Right on that same timeline where everybody else during the snap. But then when the Soul Stone came back, the Soul Keeper brought back two Gamoras and melded them together.
Okay. All right. Again, I hear you. Right. I can't jump on that. No, I'm not going to say it right. But yeah. But I hear you. You're
right, but I'm not saying I'm right.
This one's too hard for me to jump on, Red. I'm sorry. Like, I can't.
Mind fuck, but that's how I've been thinking about it all weekend. Like, dude, that's how it works.
Okay.
That's how it should work.
Well, let's go ahead and let's work towards the end here. So
grade it. We'll grade it.
Let's go ahead and grade it. Like, what would you give Guardians of the Galaxy? Comic book rating, Guardians of the Galaxy, out of everything, what would you give it?
I'd say a gem in 10 for the soundtrack, 9.8 for the movie.
You know what? That's another thing. I didn't think the soundtrack was as good.
I think the soundtrack was great. They started out with Oasis. Was it Oasis?
I think so. Yeah. No, that's Radiohead.
Radiohead, yeah. Yeah.
Radiohead. Look, it was good. It was definitely better than Guardians of the Galaxy 2. And it had its emotional parts. Yeah,
part 2, but you're saying it's not as good as part 1?
No. Okay. Part 1's still better. So my order is 1-3-2. My order is 1-3-2. It was a great ending, great and amazing villain. But I didn't like all of the emotional parts of it. Like, some of the emotional stuff was needed, like Lila was needed, you know, almost losing Rocket was needed, but the Lila, feeling of almost
Floor, Tiefers.
Floor, Tief, and Lila, yeah. Like that was painful. Yes, that one sucked. And then Rocket going back and saving all the other raccoons and stuff like that. Like this movie did a big wave of big ups and downs for me. Like, the disappointments were emotions, Warlock, but like High Evolutionary is a high point, the story, the character building. It was up and down. I'm going to have to give it a 9-2.
Okay, still good. It's a 9-8 with personality.
9-2. Yes, it definitely had a lot of personality, it for sure.
Yeah, and you notice a little, it's all three movies where they use the adjective plucky.
They did that. They used that term in Infinity War too. Dude, yeah. don't call us plucky. We don't know what that means.
Yeah. I don't know if they did it for. Yeah, I don't know if they did it for Endgame, but yeah, it was Infinity War.
They also used Eagly in this movie. Did you see that? Eagly was in it. He was in one of the cages.
Oh yeah, okay.
Eagly was in it, and then one thing I didn't miss. One thing I missed was the RoboCop reference. There was apparently like a big RoboCop reference in there too.
Oh, because of the head, the way the RoboCop kind of encased in here, and then stretched his skin to the brackets. RoboCop was the same way.
Was it that? Oh, that's why. That's right. That's like in the face too.
Yeah.
You know? And then how Rocket, you know, and then with Rocket getting his redemption by, you know, scratching off his face, and that's why his face is the way it is. Like, I thought that was a really cool reveal, but still, like, better than two or better than two, not as good as one.
Those are buddies I've seen anybody get damaged in the MCU. And then their perfect placement of the F word.
That was great. That was great.
But funny.
That was the best. Get in the fucking car. And all he says it to Nebula. Like, it was the perfect time into the perfect character. I think that was great. Before we go, Misso wants to know our thoughts on the Marvel's trailer. Not gonna lie, that movie looks super fun. It looks really fun. I absolutely adore Ms. Marvel. I love her little character. She's so adorable.
Yeah, she's gonna play the naive young one while versus the two military trained.
Yeah,
superpowered females, but it's gonna be that buddy cop comedy.
Yeah,
what's his name, with Joe Pesci and
Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
Whatever Leo wants, Leo gets. I it looks fun to me. I'm actually looking I'm very much looking forward to the Marvels. I don't think Brie Larson is a bad Captain Marvel. I actually kind of like her a lot as Captain Marvel. Monica Rambeau's character, I have no feelings towards for whatever reason.
Because her performance was kind of flat on.
It was. It was. I felt like it was a little flat, but their powers melding the way they are, like, that's interesting to figure out, to find out why they did that, because we're finding out that Ms. Marvel is in, she's a mutant. So wondering, like, what's happening with that, you know? But I think it's fun. It looks super fun. And I'm actually looking, very much looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah. Same here. Same here. I think Brie Larson plays.
Yeah, she's okay.
Captain Marvel. Maybe it's some of the writing that was kind of off, and the way the first movie was portrayed. Maybe that's kind of like why people didn't really vibe with it. But I
don't get it. I really don't understand the hatred towards Brie Larson. I know she's made some comments.
Yeah, but maybe it's all anti woke thing, anti woman empowerment kind of deal.
People have opinions
like they have assholes, and they're always gonna have it.
I'm not gonna lie, I thought you just said people have penises like they have assholes. That's what I heard. I'm so sorry, you said opinions. Yeah.
Well, thank you for assuming that's what I'm gonna say, because I think that's the kind of thing I would say off air, right?
Off air, on air, in the air, out your air.
Before we go, what other trailers did you like prior to watching?
You know what? I'm not impressed with Little Mermaid.
Oh, how fucking dare you?
Yeah. Like the young girl who plays Ariel, what's her name? Halle Berry.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Fantastic voice, amazing voice. And I'm sure that's why they got her. But you know, what's his name? Bardem being the underwater king.
Javier Bardem.
Yeah. Being the underwater king kind of throws it off a little bit. I'm like, okay, she can be part Latina, I guess, you know? But it's not any dig on the actress. I'm going to tell you that now. It's not because Ariel is black. Oh my God, people hate it. Because I'm going to say this now. No, it's not because Ariel is black. It just didn't hit hard. The music sounded wonderful, but the CGI just doesn't look at that quality level that we expect from a big production company like Disney. I feel like that movie should have been left alone. And supposedly the rumor is that they're going to try to do a live action Moana too.
I think that's you didn't get the finished version of CGI. That's why they needed to pump out that trailer for this weekend. That way, you get excited about it.
See, I was thinking, I'm like, so what Disney movie of my generation was the one that hit hard? And I'm thinking about like all of the 80s Disney movies. And I'm like, well, it's Little Mermaid. If I think about it, like as a child, which was the Disney movie that really hit? It was Little Mermaid, right? Because after that, you know, it was Beauty and the Beast that came out in 92, but that was already like, I'm a little bit more of a teenager. I'm like, oh, it's a Disney movie, you know? And then Lion King, that was dope, right? Because that was a little more.
There was no
Aladdin.
Yeah, Aladdin. But there was nothing really major that came out during the 80s except the
Little Mermaid.
No. The mice. Not
Fievel.
Not American Tail, but the Rescuers.
Oh, that's right. Like the Rescuers and the Rescuers Down Under. Yeah. I didn't care about that.
That was like the only major Disney animated film that went out. But part of that, everything else was back in the 60s and 50s.
Yeah, like Lady and the Tramp and Cinderella and all of that. It was before. So like the one movie that hit in the 80s for me as a child, a Disney movie that hit, it was Little Mermaid. And it was, to me, I'm like, you know what? I kind of want that magic to stay where it's at, because as an animated movie, it was magical.
Just give it a go, give it a shot, go in there blind, enjoy the songs, sing along with it.
Oh yeah. Well, no, it's a for sure thing I'm going to watch. Eris really enjoyed it. She got super, super excited when she saw it. So I'm like, it's going to be a family event for sure.
All right. And what do you think of Gran Turismo, the movie?
I'm interested. Yeah, okay. It's peaked.
I'll save that for the next podcast then.
Yeah.
We'll do a reaction to that
one. Yeah. We'll do a reaction to that one. I'm interested because it is a true story. And I like I like the premise.
Okay, I didn't know it was a true life event.
Yeah.
Well, I'm kind of suspect about it, but I'll give it a go, and we'll react to the trailer next week.
I'm just glad that it's not like a Fast and the Furious movie, because that was the one thing I was really afraid of. But it feels just like a very stylized Formula One GT driving type movie, and it's revolved around the actual game. So I thought that was really cool. But we'll talk a little bit more about it.
Like The Wizard meets Days of Thunder.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. Yes. That you captured the feel perfectly with that one right there. Perfectly. Yes. I drink tea if I had one. All right. That's it for tonight's show. Thank you guys for coming by. Thank you, Miss So, for hanging out with us. We really, really love you for.
Well, watch Guardians of the Galaxy. See how you feel about it.
Yeah.
Do not listen to the critics. Do not listen to anybody's opinions. Formulate your own. Go watch.
Don't listen to us. Don't listen to us in that aspect. Go form your own opinions. We're just a few nerds talking about the things that we love, and we're offering you our opinions, but you don't have to take them.
Yeah, and stay for the post-credit scenes. There's one mid and one at the end.
Yeah, one mid and one end. Exactly. All right, guys. Have a good night. Peace.
Thanks again for listening to another episode of the Seedless Villains Podcast, your cultivators of the comic culture. Make sure you follow us on Facebook and email us at seedlessvillains@gmail.com. You can also leave us a voicemail or text us at 209-975-7597. Be sure to join Luke Week's Facebook group, Rare Keys and First Appearance Comics. And you can follow us on our two Instagram accounts, Seedless Villains and Seedless Villains Podcast. Lastly, follow the villains on their separate IG accounts, at Luke Weeks, at C-List Villainous Red, at C-List E-Man, and I am at AJ the Comic Collector. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you all next episode.